Let's be real. Nobody starts a business for the joy of calculating tax withholdings. That's where our partner Gusto comes in to take the stress out of payroll, benefits, and HR so you can focus on why you started your business in the first place. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use. So that means you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. I'm talking about automatic payroll tax filing, simple direct deposits, health benefits, commuter benefits, workers' comp, 401k, you name it, Gusto makes it simple. And all with no hidden fees, no surprises. Plus, if you have any questions, their team of certified HR experts are standing by to help. It's no wonder why more than 400,000 small businesses already trust Gusto and why it's the number one rated payroll software for fall 2025, according to the review site G2. So try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, gusto, gusto.com/sidehustle. $1,000 a day posting on Facebook. I wouldn't believe it myself if this guy wasn't at the top of my feed every day, but he's definitely cracked the code of Facebook's new content monetization program where, kind of like other platforms, they're actually paying creators and curators to hook people's attention and keep them on the platform longer, because the more time you spend on the platform, the more money they make in terms of advertising dollars. So stick around in this one to learn how you can get your piece of the pie, what kind of content works best, and how to do it all in just an hour a day. From Good Financial Sense, Jeff Rose, welcome to The Side Hustle Show.
What's up? Glad to be on here.
It has been a long time coming. I can't believe we waited 700 episodes to make this happen. But my understanding is you stumbled upon this almost by accident, where you posted something and it did well, and then you log back in and it says you made $137. And you're like, really? Wait, how? What?
That is correct. I found this tweet I just thought it was hilarious. There's a guy named Greg, and he did this experiment where he ordered a DoorDash order from McDonald's, except that he tried to order a Big Mac, I believe, or a triple cheeseburger, something like that, where no bun, no meat, no toppings. He basically just wanted an empty box.
Okay.
And he just wanted to see if he could pull it off.
Yeah, what was going to happen?
What's going to happen, you know? And that's what the Dasher messaged him, and he basically documented on Twitter. And I took a screenshot of his initial tweet, put it on my Facebook page because I thought it was funny. Like, that is like totally my sense of humor. Put it on my page. And then the next month I logged in. What I discovered was Facebook was going to pay me $137 for that screenshot of somebody else's tweet. That's when it started. That is when the light bulb went off. And I think that was the summer of 24. I think it was May or June that post went live, where I made that $137, which, you know, was so totally life-changing.
And it's only loosely even personal finance related. Obviously, Good Financial Sense is a long-standing brand in the personal finance community.
Correct.
But it's like, well, yeah, I guess it has a picture of the receipt. And it's like, you know, the customizations, like, only loosely even related to investing or saving money or like the kind of topics that you normally talk about. But it hit because you thought it was funny. Other people thought it was funny too. And it worked.
That's actually a great segue to the second post, because the second post that made me over $500 was another post I found on X, and it was looked like a high school picture of Taylor Swift and her ex-boyfriend. It was from the ex-boyfriend from high school, and I saw it. It went viral, and I thought, well, I'm just going to test this out and put it on my page, and that one ended up making me over $500. Once again, nothing finance related, but obviously, you know, T-Swift, all the Swifties, I think it got shared in a few Taylor Swift groups back in the day, and that kind of became more of the social experiment of like, huh, I wonder if I can actually share stuff to get engagement. Still took me a minute to figure out, but that's how the light bulb idea started going off, you know, how I could start testing things out.
Yeah, I think I've seen this picture where it's like, it's them in front of the limo. Like, I don't know if they're like at their prom or something. Like, I wonder whatever happened to that girl.
Yeah.
Okay, so now all of this is under the umbrella of the Facebook content monetization program. And what I found was, you know, I had the Side Hustle Nation page for years and years, and might post 5 times a year, like maybe even less than that some years. But I found when I went to log in, it was like, you are eligible. You just had to like submit your, you know, payment information. Like it wasn't like something I necessarily had to apply for. Is that what you're finding with students? And in your case, where you were kind of like already automatically enrolled in this?
Yeah, I think people that have had pages, like this is all my assumption based off talking like guys like you and people that have had Facebook pages for a fair number of years that had like a decent following.
Yeah.
In most instances, people were already in the program. All they had to do was like turn it on.
Okay.
For newer pages, it's a little bit different. So there is no application. It is an invite only. And unlike YouTube, there's not like a certain watch hours or subscriber count or views or impressions. It's an invite only. And the only thing I can gather is if you've not been invited, when you log into Facebook, especially like a page, it'll give you kind of like goals or milestones to reach for, you know, like post so many times per week, you know, publish a brand new reel once a week, do a story or something like that. And so that's kind of like, I think Facebook's way of like, hey, if you really want to be invited, we're giving you the criteria that you need to hit on a weekly basis to hopefully get the impressions or views to then get that invitation. But there really isn't any sort of set criteria that says, hey, you hit these levels, you're guaranteed to be invited. But it's just one of those you basically post to get engagement, to get the views, and then eventually, hopefully, you'll get that invitation.
Got it. Yeah. Do you find that having an existing following helped? I think there's probably like 30,000 likes or 30,000 quote unquote followers. Followers who never really see your stuff on the Side Hustle Nation page. Good Financial Sense is 10 times that size. But did that play a role?
It's a good question. Even before the $137 post, I was posting, I don't even remember, once or twice a week. So it wasn't like I didn't care about it. I had maybe around 30,000 followers at that time. But for the most part, like it was an abandoned page, dormant for the most part. I'm assuming it could have helped. But then again, like it's really hard to say, right? I have a YouTube channel with 380 some thousand subscribers. And a year ago, I published a new video and got like 800 views. So I don't know how Facebook treats the algorithm or treats those followers. I have to assume it didn't hurt me, but I don't know how much it actually helped.
Yeah, that's fair. It seems like maybe it'll serve it out to a tiny percentage of those people. And if we get some sort of engagement reaction, okay, we're going to broaden that out a little bit, as maybe my understanding, similar to other platforms, I guess, where you can reach beyond your existing following. Let's talk about what you found to work, what kind of content to post, what kind of stuff has done well, just even looking at the stuff from the past 24 hours. We have 27 comments on a picture of you with a fish. We have somebody's pay stub for $105. We have a post about Forerunner residual values. Some of it is original, but some of it is, like you mentioned, oh, it's just a screenshot of somebody else's tweet or something like that. So, or here's a picture of the S&P 500 return for the last 150 years.
Yeah, it's like it's been fun to test. You know, like obviously I'm looking at other pages. I'm looking at even going like to X or Threads and seeing what is going viral over there. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate over to Facebook, but there definitely have been times where it has. And I've tested, you know, what's really worked. Actually, I was just looking at this. They now share with you, like in the analytics, when you post something, how many new followers did you gain from that post?
Okay.
Which is a very interesting metric. And what I discovered actually this just past week was anytime that I took like a screenshot of gold or Bitcoin or the S&P 500 or a certain stock, and had some caption to go along with that, it definitely seems like my audience resonated with that. But the weird thing too is like, I've done like parenting stuff. You know, I've done marriage stuff. Like I've done marriage humor, and that's also done well. Not always, right? Like not everything hits. I've had stuff where I thought, man, this is going to take off, and it just completely flop. Some that are really disappointing too, because like I really spent some time, you know, crafting the message, obviously using ChatGPT to kind of help write the story. But I'm like, oh man, like this one did really well, so I assume this one's going to do really well on top of that, and it just didn't, unfortunately. So like it's been a variety of the things that hit.
Yeah. So you can go a little bit broader. You can go into the marriage and family stuff, because of course that's under the umbrella of personal finance. Like money touches everything. So it's kind of helpful to have a broad niche to start with.
Yeah.
And then trying to look for the content that has gone viral or is going viral on other platforms and then bringing it into the Facebook ecosystem and maybe being rewarded for being first or being early. Because it's like, well, if it hit over here, it might hit over here. I know not every time it's going to work, but using these other platforms almost as a proving ground.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, probably more than a couple of years ago now, like I was really trying to grow my Twitter following. So I like Facebook, I was on there a lot, but never really got paid anything. So what I like when I post anything on X right now, like I get zero engagement. Like it is quite pathetic. But I have used Threads as a way to test things. And once again, I've discovered like there's things that did well on Threads, like they did really well that did not translate over to Facebook, you know, and there's some stuff that didn't do that great on Threads that did do well on Facebook. And also to say is that I've actually reposted things. So there is a way to recycle content where like I publish something like say today and I may republish it again like in 60 to 90 days. And there are so many examples of where it did okay the first time. And the second time it did really, really well.
Okay.
And vice versa, you know, where it did really well the first time and the second time. So it's just, you never know, you know, just the timing of when you published it. Like, did you publish it Monday at 7 p.m. versus, you know, Wednesday at 11 a.m.? Like, you never know how the algorithm is going to treat it. So that's just a good reminder of like, hey, just keep testing, keep testing, keep testing.
It sounds like it very much is a volume game where it's posting 10, 20, 30 times a day in throwing a lot of the virtual spaghetti at the wall to try to find the few things that stick. And there's probably a, you know, 80% of the earnings come from 20% of the posts.
Yeah, for sure.
So if I'm looking at Twitter and I'm trying to do this game, so if I go to my home screen or something, and I'm looking at maybe this metric of how many people saw this piece of content as a potential metric of, well, it did well on Twitter. I guess you have a couple options. One, you could do the screenshot thing and attribution and say, oh, we can credit Cody for this or whatever it may be. Or you can rewrite it in your own voice. Like, what do you tend to play with there?
I will do a little bit of both. You know, let's say Cody Sanchez, let's say she said something where, oh, I can relate to that. Like, that sounds like something that I could say or would say, you know, and maybe tweak a little bit. So then I would say, take her tweets, put in ChatGPT and give me like 5 or 10 different variations. And then I would turn that into an image, either using Canva or just use the Instagram app to, you know, copy and paste that into the app and then download the image there to post it.
Okay.
So that's, you know, a few different options that you can do, or you can just take the screenshot. And another little hack that I think is, I've actually had not shared publicly. So this is like a Side Hustle Nation exclusive. But if you find a post that went viral, so let's say it got 500,000 views or, you know, a million views, when I click on the post itself, then I look at the comments or the replies.
Oh, okay. So I like this one, for example. It says, it's just a graphic. It says, do it for your future self, which could apply to a good financial sense. It could apply to Side Hustle Nation. It could apply just across any niche. It's one of these feel good quotes that could do well.
So then if you clicked on that, and like this, it doesn't always that work out. Like, I'm not seeing good examples here, but let's say that if you did click on it and then there was a comment or reply that just got a lot of likes, you know, because it was witty or clever or funny or whatever it is, right? You've just validated not only did the post go viral, but now you have a comment that people really enjoyed and resonated with that you could then also rewrite as the caption as well. Basically, use that as the caption for the screenshot, if that makes sense.
Okay, got it. More with Jeff in just a moment, including the tools and workflows he uses to schedule a week's worth of content in just a few hours, and the downsides I've seen to my first few weeks of chasing this new income stream, coming up right after this. Whether you're a seasoned business or you're experiencing your very first Black Friday, Cyber Monday, you need a platform that can handle the rush. The last thing you want is inventory errors or your point of sale crashing when new customers are trying to buy for the first time. So make sure your business is ready for the busiest time of the year with help from our sponsor, Shopify. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, including dozens of Side Hustle Show guests and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify has thousands of templates and tools to make sure your site looks great and is functional at the same time. And if you ever have any issues or questions, Shopify's award-winning customer support team is standing by 24/7 so you can get back to business as fast as possible. If you want to give your customers the best shopping experience this holiday season, you need Shopify. This Black Friday, join the thousands of new entrepreneurs hearing for the first time with Shopify. Sign up for your free trial today at shopify.com/sidehustle. That's shopify.com/sidehustle. Go to shopify.com/sidehustle and make this Black Friday one to remember. Here's the harsh truth about missing a business call. It's kind of like watching money fly out the window and straight into your competitor's hands. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, formerly OpenPhone, the smarter way to run your business communications. Quo is the number one business phone system built for 2025, not 1995. It's rated the top choice for customer satisfaction on G2 with over 3,000 reviews. Forget juggling multiple phones or using a landline. Quo works right from an app on your phone or computer. What that means is your whole team can share one number and collaborate on calls and texts just like a shared inbox. Faster responses, happier customers. And here's what's even cooler. If you can't answer the phone, Quo's AI agent can. It can qualify leads, it can route calls to the right person, and it helps make sure your customers aren't left hanging. Quo is offering Side Hustle Show listeners 20% off your first 6 months at quo.com/sidehustle. That's Q-U-O, quo.com/sidehustle. You can even keep your existing number for free. Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers.
Okay, so that's one way to feed the content. Because that was a question that I had. It's like, well, how much of it is just the image, or do you need to write a paragraph about it? That becomes really time-consuming now if I'm trying to do 10 of these a day.
Yeah, you know, and there's a few time hacks. I mean, obviously, one way I do it is I take a screenshot and then immediately upload it to ChatGPT and say, hey, me and ChatGPT have had quite a few conversations, so like it knows my objective, like what I'm trying to do. You know, so give me some captions based on this image, and it will give me like, I don't even ask it anymore. It gives me like, oh, here's the thought leadership version. Here's the satirical version. Here's the snarky version. Like it gives me whichever ones like I want to take. That's one way to do it. At the time of this recording, I'm using Buffer as my scheduling tool. And sometimes like when I don't have time to do that, the process I just shared, I'll upload it, take a screenshot, upload the Buffer and save it as a draft. And what then that allows me to do is then like, I'll just take, you know, like an hour, and then every single draft that I have in Buffer, then I'll go in and get, you know, use ChatGPT to help with the captions and then just start scheduling them out. You know, so that way they're all there. It's like just streamlined. You know, I'm just like bookending like a couple hours just to get this all done and get everything scheduled for like for the next week or so. And that has been, it's been helpful.
And you prefer Buffer over the Meta Business Suite or whatever, you know, their built-in scheduling tool is?
Yeah, because with Buffer and full transparency, like I'm also testing out Post Planner, which is another scheduling tool that also has like a neat little research tool, which is the only thing I'm using it for right now.
Okay.
But like with Meta, at least with Buffer and the Post Planner, like I have all my times already predetermined, you know? So like all I got to do is just fill in, to add to the queue so it knows. And as far as I can tell, Meta does not give you that possibility. Like you can go in and schedule it, but like I basically just add it to the queue or publish now or move it to the top, whichever, if it's like a timely one, I'll move it to the top. Or if I just want to publish now, I can do that. But that way it's all in there. And then the other piece as well, which you can get this with Buffer or Post Planner, is like when you have everything already in there, now I can go back to stuff I published back in May and look at the analytics. And if I want to requeue it or repost it, it's in there already. And all I have to do is duplicate it. And, you know, and if I want to make any tweaks, I can. But for the most part, like it's all in there. So talk about an incredible time hack, which I haven't said this yet, but like as of right now, I don't have a VA. And this is all 100% me doing everything. But it's intentional because I want to learn it. I want to understand what's working, why it's working. And as I'm doing this, I'm building up the process where I can like, all right, I need you to go back to the month of June, look at the analytics and find anything that's good, repost it. You know, like I have things now where I can now start to delegate. And also I'm having a lot of fun with it too.
It feels delegatable. And I would love to get to the point where the revenue would justify that level of investment. I feel like other people would just be better at this than me, than being the meme lord and sourcing the stuff and staying on top of the viral trends. That's been my pushback on it so far. I'm like 2 or 3 weeks into this. My screen time is up considerably. I find myself checking Facebook many, many more times per day. Like, did anybody like my stuff? Like,
yeah,
I dislike that part. And for the monetary returns that I've seen so far, like $7 or something, it's like, well, it's not quite there yet. But, you know, I see it as kind of this experiment phase where you got to learn how it works and what works and what doesn't. And then hopefully, at least in my case, be able to delegate that and not spend so much time on Facebook stuff. And maybe this is a worthwhile place to point pause and say like, and this is probably indicative of all social media, where it feels very like it's dopamine. It's somewhat quick hit, vacuous. It's not like a evergreen asset. And so you have to keep feeding the beast 10, 20, 30 times a day. Part of me is torn because it's like, oh, it's new and shiny. It's cool. But it's also like, could you just build an evergreen piece of content that now lasts for months or years, like instead of spending the time over here?
Yeah.
What's your take on all that? That was quite a ramble.
No, it was good though. I first like to address the screen time, like 100%, man. Like my screen time went up a lot and it's something that I took notice of and actually intentionally just put downtime on my phone that starts at 10 o'clock and doesn't pop up till 6 a.m. Just as a, I don't need to be on my phone past then, you know, just even because it definitely started falling into this trap of, ooh, am I missing out on a viral post that could make me whatever it could make me, right? So I just had to finally just like, listen, I've got what I need. I've got plenty. If it's not there in the morning, then there's going to be another one that pops up. So I think there's that aspect.
There is that positive aspect of it too, because it's like, there's always something, you know, on the internet. It's
there's
like,
always something.
Yeah. But then you have to be a curator of that. So you always have, you constantly have to be paying attention and kind of recreate the product every day. This is not like life-changing content for anyone. And it's not designed to be. And so it's like, that's not necessarily a knock on it, but it's just quick hits, you know, keep people engaged, you know, get them smiling or nodding or laughing, and it's kind of on to the next thing.
Yeah. It's something I definitely considered. And I guess for me, when all of a sudden the money became a significant amount, where it's like, gosh, like, why wouldn't I spend 2 days a week scheduling out a week's worth of content to make $1,000 a day? Like, that just, it seems like kind of the no-brainer to do it. But also to your point of like, gosh, for me with Good Financial Sense, the blog, you know, the inspiration was always to serve and to help and to educate. And some posts, I do that. But then the other posts, like you mentioned, are 100% dopamine, quick hit, engagement. So it's kind of that balancing act of, okay, I do have content that I do feel is educational.
Yes. No, and I agree with that. I didn't mean to like knock on you.
No. It's something internally that I've been conflicted about. But like, there's no denying that anything that's a little bit more controversial or a little bit more, you know, hot take, I mean, that's the stuff that does extremely well. Anything that's divisive, you know, typically does well. But I've definitely drawn the line where, you know, I'm not going to go in the political side. I'm going to stay in my lane and talk about the things I want to talk about.
Yeah. Do you get involved in the comments? Because inevitably money debates, inflation topics, you know, people are going to start throwing mud at each other in the comments. Do you get involved with that? Or just like, hey, this is great engagement for my posts. I'm just going to let it happen.
So I have before. I think that one case, like somebody messaged me because I think somebody, they said something that was definitely like hurtful or vengeful. And I'm like, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I typically don't block people unless you're like spam. But that was the first time actually I ended up blocking some people because I just didn't think that was appropriate. But I don't engage a lot. But there's one post, it was about my wife and because she painted our bathroom because just to save a bunch of money. And it was, man, it was so interesting because like I had so many contractors coming in just like bashing. And once again, they don't know me. They don't know my wife is very much like DIY. I mean, this woman has built so many things. I mean, her dad's taught her so much stuff. So I jumped in the comments defending my wife and also like, you know, and I would have hoped that I made more for the comments that I spent. it didn't equate to that much more revenue. So that it was just a good lesson learned. I'm like, all right, just let people kind of talk if they want to talk, and occasionally I'll jump in.
Okay. Yeah, you almost have to have a thick skin. Some of it is engagement bait type of content.
Yeah.
Is it ever worthwhile to boost the post, like pay Facebook a little bit in the hopes that it reaches more people and then it's, you know, somehow starts spinning and they show it to more?
Yeah. No, I personally haven't tested that out. I do follow somebody on YouTube that knows a lot about Facebook monetization. And one of the things he suggests is that when a post starts taking off and trending, and then eventually, like you said, you see it start to die down. And those are the posts that he would suggest that as it's exhausted its shelf life, is that's when you'd want to boost it. You know, especially if it's reached, you know, your non-followers and you if you already gain followers from it, you know, not to increase the revenue side, but just be, hey, like, obviously this posted well, it might be worth testing. I haven't done that yet, just because that's a good strategy, I think, for people if you're starting out, you know, you're trying to grow your following. And I was just organically getting, you know, like 20 or 30,000 new followers a month. So it just didn't seem like anything I needed to do, but it is something that I will eventually test out. So I think it definitely could work, you know, if you kind of follow that strategy.
Got it. And they don't seem to mind that it's a lot of sharing other people's stuff, where I think on the initial onboarding on the monetization program, they're like, we want, you know, original content creators. And it's like, I guess with your commentary, it becomes original. Is like that kind of how they're looking at it?
Yeah, as best I can tell. I think the only thing they really crack down on is like if you were to upload somebody else's video, like whether it be a short or a reel or a TikTok, like that's where they really are flagging for unoriginal content.
Okay.
What I've been doing, no, I don't do this all the time, but like I will take a screenshot of somebody else's tweet and then I'll put it into Canva with my white background, with my logo. I mean, it still is a screenshot of somebody else's tweet, but like at least there you're making a little extra effort to make it your own. And I'll usually add like a headline sometimes as well, just as a way to kind of like circumvent that. But at this point in time, like I've never been flagged for posting a screenshot of somebody else's work, whether it was X or even on Facebook.
Yeah. And if I pull a chart from somewhere, I'll make a point to try and tag, oh, this is from CNBC or this is from Financial Times or something like that. But who knows if that is worthwhile, if that does anything.
Yeah.
Any other resources that you like for coming up with this endless stream of content ideas?
Oh, man. You know, once you engage in the algorithm, whether that's on Threads, Facebook, or on X, especially on Facebook, where I will both on when I'm logged in as my personal profile or my business page, you know, if I see something that has gone viral, I will typically always like it, sometimes comment, but usually just like, and then I'll bookmark it and save it to a folder or whatever category, you know, that it fits into. And what that has done is now all I have to do is go to the feed and I'm automatically fed new ideas constantly that basically already have some social proof of like, oh no, this resonates. Once again, doesn't always work.
Okay. You've trained your algorithm to show me the same kind of stuff that's going to do well for me.
That's going to do well, especially in my niche, that it's like either personal finance, family, or marriage related. You know, it does throw in some pickleball stuff because I'm into pickleball right now. I don't share any of that on my Facebook page, but those are the main things I get served. And it's like, man, like it never fails like that I won't get served some sort of idea that I can either screenshot or recreate, you know, in my own version or own voice.
Okay. And have you found that the money that Facebook is giving you is kind of the end game here, or has this translated back into email signups, YouTube subscribers, you know, any other metrics that might be valuable to good financial sense as a business?
Yeah, not quite. I've had a call with somebody who claims that they really can add additional revenue. I have a blog, you know, it did really well for a lot of number of years. And after SEO, Google updates, and AI, like it just pretty much became like a non-existent business where, yes, I'm sure I could make a little bit of money, but it just got to the point where I'm like, it just felt like it was way too much work to try to generate anything. So I've just kind of just left it, barely updated. So what they claim is that with the following and the engagement that I'm getting on my page, that it should translate over into some sort of revenue from the site. So we're going to test it out. You know, I'm curious to see what they can do. So there's that. And because I really haven't cared about the site, I would assume if I really had a few affiliates that I wanted to promote, I think it would do okay. I don't know, man. It was just one of those, like when the blog kind of just fell under, I just kind of separated myself from it. Like, I don't even want to play the affiliate game. I don't want to like try to send people to the website. I just want to like post on Facebook and just have fun with it. But, you know, maybe I'm missing out. So we'll see. Maybe I can report back.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just curious about that. Like, oh, as the following grows, are you allowed to sprinkle in your own offers every now and again? Or is that just like, well, the algorithm's going to bury that because now you're trying to get people off platform?
I do some sponsorship stuff, you know, and like, so whether it be a post or a reel, they typically don't do very well. But I think the sponsors will run ads, you know, to kind of get more views on that stuff. I think it could work. I think there probably have to be some creative ways to go about it. I call it a Twitter thread, but a thread style post on Facebook, you know, where you're doing a thread in the comments. You know, I think that's one way that you could test it out. That way it's a little bit different.
Oh, okay. So you mentioned Buffer, you mentioned Post Planner, you mentioned ChatGPT as a writing assistant. And I'm surprised you don't have a virtual, honestly, like you don't have a virtual assistant like doing any of this stuff. But anything else on the tools or tech side? Oh, Canva.
Canva. No, like those are the main things, man. Yeah. No, I think that's funny. When people, everybody that when they learn I don't have a VA, they're like, what? What do you mean?
Yeah, because the first reaction is like, for the volume of stuff that this guy's putting out, like, it's got to be AI. It's got to be a virtual assistant. It's kind of nuts. But once it's operating at a scale, you're like, well, I can just manage it in a couple hours a day or a couple days a week. How far out do you like to have in terms of like breathing room of stuff scheduled?
Yeah, right now I'm about like, I think the most I've ever been is about 2 weeks. So right now, usually like Mondays and Tuesdays are like the days I'll usually spend publishing for the next 7 days.
Yeah.
So I can get everything scheduled. And that's usually what it takes. And like usually maybe like 4 hours a day on each day, because I'll definitely get distracted and do other things, watching pickleball videos.
You got to cut it off at a certain point. Yeah.
And it also just depends. Like sometimes, maybe I'll take a little bit more time, but that's because like, ooh, like it really becomes a game of like, ooh, like I want to put a little extra work in this one because I think this one will do well. I think that's a little bit of that. How do you stand out from the competition? You know, even I've seen people that are trying to replicate what I'm doing and like they'll share the exact same screenshot, but even the caption, you know, you could just tell like it was very minimal effort. So one of the things that I try to do is put a lot of work in the caption. And once again, work using ChatGPT. And then also I'll always add a first comment. I won't say always, but majority of the time a first comment, because Buffer allows you to do that. So that way, every time I publish something, it's just a little extra thing. You know, so when people see the post, they see the caption, they also see that first comment, which can also help with the engagement.
Oh, okay. Is that okay? That's an exclusive Buffer feature.
I think Post Planner offers it too. It's something new that Buffer just added because there was another platform that did it and they didn't have it. But like in the last like month, they added it. Like I said, it takes a little extra work, but it's one of those in the prompt with ChatGPT is like, not only do I need 5 captions, but I also need a first comment that goes along with that caption. You know, so it automatically provides that now so that whenever I schedule everything out, everything's got the caption, everything has a first comment.
Okay. Still ahead, Jeff reveals the surprising post that made him $1,200 from someone else's content. His advice for me in my early days of testing this out and why Facebook seems to pay better than other platforms. That's coming up right after this. If you're still overpaying for wireless, it's time to say yes to saying no. At Mint Mobile, their favorite word is no. No contracts, no monthly bills, no overages, no hidden fees, no BS. Here's why I said yes to making the switch and started getting premium wireless for $15 a month way back in 2019. All Mint plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. That means I can stay connected wherever I go. Plus, I was able to bring my own phone, keep my existing phone number, and all my existing contacts. It was an easy move that's added thousands of dollars back to our bottom line over the years compared to overpriced wireless plans. If you're ready to say yes to saying no, make the switch at mintmobile.com/sidehustle. That's mintmobile.com/sidehustle. Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 per month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. When you're growing your business and your team, you need a hiring partner that can help you rise to the challenge. You need Indeed. Our sponsor, Indeed, is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Here's our recent guest, Skylar, from episode 645.
What's your recruiting look like?
I would use Indeed. Indeed was really, really helpful at first.
Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there's no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. How fast is Indeed? In this 60-second commercial, 23 businesses just hired their next team member. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed, is all you need. Well, while I have you, can I ask for some coaching on my posts here and see what you would do differently?
Let's do it.
All right. So I'm going to bring up the Side Hustle Nation Facebook page.
So, I mean, you interview so many people, right?
Yeah.
So to me, it's could you create like a mini blog post highlighting somebody that you interviewed with a nice opening hook, whatever the headline is, and then also share it to your email list of like, hey, you know, just we did this interview with so-and-so, and just to get people to come read with that person, you know, and then engaging, asking them to comment and make it seem they read it. Once again, a little bit more work, but now you're demonstrating to your audience like, hey, I'm actually on Facebook. I'm here. Here's a cool story about somebody who had a cool success story. I mean, that's one way, I think, just kind of repurposing the content you've already done. I mean, also it's like goodwill. Like, I mean, you've had a good interview, highlighted somebody that had a cool win, and you get to kind of pay it forward. I mean, that's just a thought.
Yeah. And it's probably an AI-able task to feed in the episode and say, could you create me even like an image carousel type of deal? Like, you know, 5 lessons from this chat with so-and-so and like see if that does anything. Mm-hmm. Either some image-based or some text-based content based on the huge library of archives in the Side Hustle Show catalog. And we have some of these, like we're like sprinkling in some of the reels and stuff from those episodes.
Yeah. Do you have anything that at least got some good engagement? Any shares or comments?
Yeah, like 5 to 10 likes is kind of where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at. Like stuff is not getting a ton of interaction yet.
So one thing I would do, maybe the things I have done well, like something that it's funny because like I've taken a screenshot and maybe it did okay. And then I've also taken the exact same screenshot and then uploaded as a reel because reels tend to go out to non-followers. So it's like, okay, not only did it do well as a post, as a picture, but then you could do it as a reel as well to potentially just grow that. So that's one thing that you can do. I would definitely look at just testing out one of your interviews that did well. And if you have the transcription of just taking the transcription and have ChatGPT write a nice little Facebook post with like a solid headline and then emailing your list and having them comment, just something like letting you know that they came to check it out. Just as a way to like get people to know that you're there, like a newsletter that goes out.
Yeah, I've always prioritized sending people to the website versus sending people to Facebook.
Yeah. Something to test out though, right? Let's assume that people are already on Facebook. So just meet them where they're at, you know, like at least to kind of to get the ball rolling on getting some engagement on the Facebook page.
Yeah. Usually in that case, we'd just send the summary in an email. Because I've gotten the feedback of like, why are you making me click on stuff? Just tell me. I'm already reading. But it's like, no. I need you to go click on something over here to send some positive signals to the algorithm.
Yeah. I had a post do really well. And it was like on Bucky's, the gas station.
Yeah.
And so it did really well. And then I emailed my list and like say, hey, like I just wrote this on Facebook about Bucky's, da-da-da-da. And you go check it out. You know, just to increase the engagement even more. I mean, it already was doing well and I just wanted to do even more well.
Okay.
It was a story, right? People like stories. People are more likely to share a story or something that is a piece of information they feel like is, ooh, they've got something cool. You know, like they're like the first to market, first to share something that's interesting. So when you start looking at it through the lens of, is it shareable? And I don't do that for every single post, but a lot of that I try to think of, when you start looking at the things that people are sharing, it's either really funny or it's a trade secret or something that they've got dibs on whatever that is, you know? So like, that's kind of how I look at the content that I share.
Yeah, there was a line, I think it was probably Joe Saul-Sehy, you know, why do people share stuff? They share stuff to improve their status, right? I'm going to share this because it's going to make me look cool. It's going to make me look smart. It's going to make me look funny. And so with that in mind, creating a type of content that checks those boxes. That's helpful. I was going to ask, is your page verified? Like, do you pay for the check mark on Facebook?
I don't. I will. I don't know why. Well, I know why. So I'm verified on Instagram.
Okay.
And I was going to do it. And then my wife actually is like, don't do it. She had a bad experience with it initially. And she's like, why would you do it? It's working. Mm-hmm. The only reason why I wanted to do it is because I have so many spam pages or spam profiles that are trying to impersonate me.
Okay.
And, you know, and people send me screenshots of like, hey, is this you? Cause like they're typically trying to send a WhatsApp and do some sort of crypto thing.
Yeah.
So just as like a more of the, as a protection of like people. So they know it's me, but I'm once again, this is not a VA. This is me. Like I go in a few times a week now and I will report everybody just to make sure that they're getting shut down, because I don't want anybody to get scammed. It's a time suck, but as of right now, like that's what I'm just doing it as a service, you know, public service to protect people.
All right. Well, I'm sure somebody listening will raise their hand and volunteer to be your Facebook virtual assistant and help you out with that stuff. Jeff, this has been a lot of fun. Anything that we missed here? Anything that people really should know before giving this a try?
I think it takes time. I think the most common question I get is like, how many times should you post? And I don't think that there's a set number, but you definitely have to be consistent. And I did not get any serious traction until I started committing. I think it was like I was doing 8 posts per day.
Okay.
So when I started scheduling 8 per day, like that's when I noticed, one, the income and also the views and everything just started trending upwards. From there, I just started increasing it, you know, from 8 a day to 12 a day, 12 a day to 16 a day, 16 to 20 a day, 20 to 24 a day. I did get up to 31 a day and it was too many. It was too much. So I kind of scaled back a little bit, but basically like that 20 a day has kind of been at least a sweet spot for me. Do you have to do 20 a day? Heck no, absolutely not. Especially if like a brand new page. But I would definitely commit to doing like 5 to 8 a day. And that's a combination. It could be just text posts. It could be images. It could be a reel. You know, whatever you enjoy doing, a little variety to do that. But I've had text posts, which is just funny to me, right? Like just a text post. It's just text. No images. You know, you could add the color background behind it that have done really well. So it's just a matter of just testing out.
It sounds like that's the moral of the story, is test it out, see what happens. Anything that's really surprised you, either a post that went viral that you didn't expect to, or maybe the opposite, one you really thought was going to be a winner, or just something crazy that's happened in the last few months of doing this, something that stands out in your mind?
It was the realization of like just the screenshots that they can make money. I found this guy on X, been following for a while, and he shared his X payout. And where like, you know, he's been posting on X multiple times a day. And I think he shared like where in the last month he made like $300 from posting on X multiple times per day. And there was a post that he did, and I think Elon Musk replied to him. So I took the screenshot of that tweet, put it on my Facebook page, and I made $1,200 from his screenshot on my page, where he made $300 for the entire month. And it was one of those, like, I almost feel guilty.
Yeah, this is wild.
But it's just like, whoa, okay. Just once again, it's still insane to me.
So you reach more people, like, because that was a compelling story and Elon replied, and maybe Meta is just that much better monetized than X. Like they could better turn those extra views and engagement into revenue.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I think Facebook is just what they're trying to do with the content monetization. I think just bring more people to the platform. There's no magical formula, because I've got stuff that got millions of views, a lot of engagement that didn't pay as much as another post that got less engagement, less views, right? I don't have a good answer of why one makes more. And I just stopped trying to understand it, because it would just drive you mad. Just kind of accept as what it is. But as of what I can tell, other than YouTube, if you can master the long form content game, I've got a buddy who's making several $100,000 a month on YouTube. And I think he would do really well on Facebook as well, but he also doesn't need to, because he's making a couple million a year on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And he's in the lawn care space, just to give you an idea. So,
okay.
So other than that, I see a lot of people that will post their Facebook earnings compared to TikTok. It's usually like a 3 to 4 to 1 ratio of their earnings over TikTok. So yes, you can still make money on TikTok, but I've not seen anything compare to what Facebook is paying right now.
Yeah.
And it's been going for a few years now. It's like, this is not like the content monetization program is new. You know, they just rolled up everything into this big monetization program, whatever they call it, in I think September of the 1st. But they've been doing performance bonus ads on Reel for several years now. So it's working. So I think they're really putting a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, it's this kind of a factor of the times, where Facebook was once a platform where you go log in and see your friends' updates and pictures. And it's like, well, nobody posts that stuff anymore. And so they need to incentivize other people to create compelling content to keep people on the platform, because it's a huge advertising business. And I was at a business mastermind last year, and it's like the amount of money from that room that was flowing into Meta was nuts. And it was like, and that was just one tiny room. And it's like, this is all across the country, all across the world. And so they need people like Jeff and maybe yourself listening to go out and create that content, keep people engaged. So Jeff, where are you taking this thing? What's next for you? What are you excited about?
I'm excited to teach people. I mean, it's kind of like the Jeff Rose brand, like Wealth Hacker was. I've always been like obsessed with what are ways that you can make money that are just almost like the cheat code, you know? And like initially that was blogging for me, YouTube for a little bit. And I mean, there's no comparison, like the amount of money that I've made on Facebook and the time spent, like it just doesn't, still the math doesn't math in my brain how much I've made. And I looked at my YouTube revenue, where the best 3 month stretch I had in YouTube was back in the COVID stretch, where I made, I think it was like $35,000 over a 90 day period.
Okay.
And like, I was in it, right? Like I was in YouTube, like had 350,000 subscribers, I'm sure back then I was in it. And to make more than that in 1 month on Facebook, for the amount of work that I did in comparison to like cranking out video content and editing and all the stuff, research and scripting.
Oh yeah, it was way harder.
Way harder, you know? And like, and I was in it to win it with YouTube. So it doesn't make sense. So I'm excited to show people like, hey, this thing is here. Like I just randomly stumbled upon. So if it's something that you can do, you know, on the side, just on, you know, posting memes or your own pictures, like, cause I've seen mom pages, like think of like the old school mommy bloggers, you know, that are posting pictures of their kids and life updates. Like I'm seeing them, like one in particular, like she shared, like actually two I found that had five figure months, you know, like 8,000 was one, 10,000. And they're just posting pictures of their family. I'm like, so like that is a thing still. So just seeing that, that's why I created the course, Get Paid to Post, just to show people, hey, here's how I'm doing it. Here's how maybe you can replicate it.
Yeah, you eventually get tired of people like me asking you questions about it. You're like, I'm just going to make the course about it.
It's fun. I've had a lot of people reach out to me because the same reason, right? Like, wow, this is a thing. Like I had so many people reach out. I'm like, might as well put it in a course, you know, make it affordable where people want to get in.
Yeah.
And also it's give me a reason to get back on YouTube, you know, to kind of just talk about what I'm learning as a kind of like a real life case study, you know? And also I love discovering other people's content, you know, other people pages that are willing to share earnings from their Facebook posts, like their content, you know? So it's just fun to see how other people are making money by, like I found somebody that has a baking shop. She promotes like political cookies. And just the fact like she's making what she's making, posting pictures of her cookies, you know, which is so cool as a small business owner, right? Like, not only are you advertising your business, I think her revenue has more than doubled or tripled this year just from her cookie sales, on top of the fact that she's made several thousand dollars a month from her Facebook content. So it's just like cool to see stories like that.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. So this is Get Paid to Post, sidehustlenation.com/paid-to-post is my referral link for Jeff's program, Jeff's new course over there. We'll link that up in the show notes as well. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Number one tip is that if you are on Facebook and you've not turned on professional mode, whether that be on your personal profile or your business page, like that is the first step that you need to do to actually eventually get invited into the content monetization program. So if you don't know how to do it, do a quick search. You'll find it. It is super easy. But turn on professional mode. And that way, even if you have no interest, you've got it turned on so that you can eventually get paid if you decide you want to pursue it.
Very cool. Appreciate that. A couple of takeaways from me before we wrap. Number one is this, you know, I was going to say quantity over quality, but the quality's got to be good too. And it's got to have a lot of quantity. So it's like, I don't know if you can sacrifice the quality, but you can throw a lot of stuff at the wall because not everything is going to hit, but you have to kind of play that volume game. Jeff said minimum 8 posts per day is when he kind of started to see the upward trend there. And then like a lot of side hustles, maybe this is one that you can kind of layer on to the existing business that you have or the existing content that you're already creating. And maybe it's a little incremental thing. It's something that you dabble with and then you find what works and you double down. You look at the metrics, you look at the analytics, oh, my audience really resonated with this type of content, and then go double down on that. So that's kind of my intention early on in this experiment to try and test and figure out what's working. I don't think I'm up to 8 posts a day yet, so maybe that's priority number one. But again, Get Paid to Post, Jeff's new course. I've got my referral link for that, which I'll put in the description or in the show notes. You can check out the Good Financial Sense Facebook page as well to see what Jeff's up to. I'll link up the Side Hustle Nation Facebook page too for you to see what kind of stuff that I've been going on, what I'm working on over there. But big thanks to Jeff for sharing his insight. Thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. SideHustleNation.com/deals is where to go to take advantage of all the great offers from our sponsors in one place. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.